Good evening and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay. As we have whittled down with free agency, it's quietening down. We are now entering the stage of the 2024 NFL Draft. It is getting ever closer. 26th of April, it'll be late at night into the next morning. So make sure if you're really wanting to watch the whole thing, you book off the Friday like I have done. And hopefully Andrew and Adam have done as well, as they are both college football obsessed. And they've been doing some really, really fantastic videos so far this year, reviewing some of the skill positions within the draft and the players that teams will be looking at getting in there, and also their sort of hierarchy of them as well, their 1 to 5, their top players, and who would be good picks in the latest. Just make sure you check them out on our social media and our YouTube videos as well. But we're going to start this evening with the quarterbacks. We're going to be talking about a lot about the NFL, college quarterbacks that are going to be going into the NFL. Maybe not all first-rounders, but we shall see about that. But we already know. If you don't know already, if you've been living under a rock, or if you're not that fussed about the draft, then you know that Caleb Williams is going to be going number one. That is pretty much the solidified pick for the Chicago Bears. The number one pick is going to be Caleb Williams, who's a fantastic quarterback, and you should check out some of his highlights as well. But we all know about the top-tier guy. We're here to talk about the rest of the guys. And there's sort of two guys at the top there, and then the other quarterbacks are in the race as well. But potentially all these guys could be first-round quarterbacks. So we're going to start today with talking about Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina, and Jaden Daniels, quarterback of LSU. And sort of talk about who's going to go number two out of these two guys. So, Andrew, we're going to start with you this evening. We're going to start with Drake May to begin with. A three-year college career at North Carolina, 8,018 yards, a 64.9% completion percentage, 63 touchdowns, 16 interceptions in his career at North Carolina. He seems like a guy that he's been talked about a lot over the past few months. But give us your take on how you feel about Drake May.
Yeah, I do honestly believe that if Caleb Williams wasn't in this draft, he would be the number one pick for me. I think in terms of analyzing players and looking how good they are, when you just take away the name and just look at him as a prospect and you go, what, he's 6'4", he's 225 pounds, you know, he's got a real strong arm, he's got mobility. When you look at those things, they're all the things that can go right. If he can do that at that level, at the college level, which he did, a lot of people are saying like it wasn't good enough for what he was expected to do, but he was better than the likes of Josh Allen and people like that at college. And he's a similar prototype to them. And I think when you take those tangibles and go, yeah, that's an NFL quarterback. And when you get in with the NFL coaches, I think that's when he'll start to produce, you know. He's been under center there for quite a while now, and I think he's shown the ability to that some other quarterbacks don't. His ability to read the field, his ability to step up into the pocket and make the field bigger rather than jetting out to the sides like we see in the modern day while rolling out and making the pitch smaller. So for me, if Caleb Williams isn't in this, Drake May is the number one pick in this draft.
And one of the players that Andrew mentioned there who's been a sort of comp of him is Josh Allen. And one of the big things that people said about quarterbacks like Josh Allen that have gone into is their rawness. They're quite raw quarterbacks. They've got a lot of molding, a lot of shaping to happen with them. Do you think Drake May's capable of that in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got... It feels that with May, there's... To me, anyway, it feels like there's two potentials where he could go. He could become this sort of Josh Allen type quarterback who, you know, he's very accurate. He's got great mechanics. He needs to learn how to slide. That's something that would be useful because he wasn't very good at that in college, a little bit like Josh Allen. So, you know, this is something that these are things that you can see why they come out and say that. The other comp that gets put out a lot, and I think this is more because of how the team was structured and what happened, is Will Levis. The fact that he kind of had this sort of like, you know, strong arm, stays in the pocket quite a lot. But it's not like, I mean, he did lose a lot of players around him in his final year. And so I think a lot of people have come out and sort of like criticized him unfairly because of that. I also think he gets criticized as not being a rushing quarterback, which he actually is. If you actually look at it, he can run. He does have that ability. A lot of people say that he's not that purely because he has got Caleb Williams in this class. You have got Jaden Daniels in this class. So I think that's more the reason that that gets put away from him. But yeah, to me, and you're going to hear this a lot from me when it comes to the quarterbacks in this episode, they all need to sit. I genuinely think they all do need to sit a year. I think maybe Caleb Williams will be okay to be able to deal with it because he is that special. But the rest of them, if they all go in starting quarterback day one, I do think they will struggle a little bit. And, you know, you saw that with Josh Allen, didn't you? You know, he struggled a little bit at the beginning. Give him a few years getting used to it. And now look what you've got. So I think he needs time. I think he could do with a really solid veteran in there with him, which I don't think he's really going to have. I don't know. It's not too bad. If he goes where we think he's going to go, then it's not too bad for him, but it's not amazing. But yeah, he has loads of potential.
I'll carry on with Adam there, because you did sort of say that there has been this negativism about him not almost being athletic enough and being rushing enough. I mean, he's coming at 6'5". He's big and strong. I mean, in a quarterback era now where we're seeing them getting smaller, skinnier, you know, I'm not talking like, you know, I know Kyler Murray's under 6 feet and a sort of more slender players, I suppose, which is more a description of Jaden Daniels. Do you think it's strange now in the NFL world that we look at a body type like Drake May and it almost is a negative in a way?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree, it feels like they sort of like, I think some teams look at him as a bit of a throwback. I think there is a potential for that. And almost like, I think it's a bad thing to do. I don't think you should. I mean, he clearly has rushing capability and that, you know, that is something that can be used. I look at him as though he's the ideal kind of rusher because he has the potential to do it, but he doesn't do it all the time and he doesn't need to lean on it. And I think that's the difference where teams need to look at it in that way. It's almost like, you know, I mean, think of it. I mean, I can take it from the, like, a Green Bay point of view. Jordan Love can run, you know, he can run, but the idea is that he's an accurate passer and that's what he's best at. And that's basically what made them a success and did a lot better than what we thought they were going to do this year. So I think some teams do look at that. They do sort of go, oh, the new hotness is the rushing quarterback and we need to make sure that we have that and that's becoming more important. But I do think it's a bad thing. It's something that they shouldn't be doing, because if it was me, I'd want a quarterback who can be accurate and throw the ball first and then was a rusher second as an add-on.
I mean, we're not looking at him as an old-school Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, sort of Philip Rivers stand in the pocket.
I think some people do, though.
No, come on. This guy's got quickness. He's got speed. I would class him as a dual-threat scrambler, if you like. Not that dual-threat long speed like you're getting from Lamar. I think that's a bit of an anomaly. But, you know, he's athletic. He's mobile. You know, like Josh Allen, would you say he's just a big statue that stands in the pocket and pass? No, because he has the rushing yards that go with it. And you know, another young guy that we're talking about being a massive prospect in the NFL is Justin Herbert. And he's got very similar attributes to Herbert as well. So I don't think we're saying this guy is an old statue that stands in the pocket and that's all he can do. I think he's that more modern big build quarterback, which I think there's still a massive place in the league for. We're not always looking for Lamar every single time, are we? We're not looking for, Mahomes' ability is what we're saying with Caleb Williams. When he rolls out of the pocket, he's dangerous when he's not in it. So I don't think necessarily we're looking for quarterbacks to be scrambling all over the place. And I think he fits well.
This is what I was going to say, actually, on top of that, Am, is do you think some of this negativity is coming because of like sort of draft attrition? I can't think of the word. What's the word that everyone uses?
Sort of like the mock drafts and what analysts are saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've gone on. Yeah, the amount of time that he's been gone about that he's going to be number two, and now it's like, well is he going to be number two? You know, this has happened to Justin Fields is a massive example of this that happened to him. You know, this draft attrition where people over talk about him so much that then we sort of start to doubt ourselves in a way.
Yeah, I think there probably is a little bit of that, because I mean, if you think about it, last year there wasn't massive hype around Will Levis until we got towards quite close to the draft, and then all of a sudden he shot up the boards, and then obviously on draft day he was left sitting there looking a bit glum for most of the first round. I was being nice about it. But yeah, I think it does happen. And you know, also I think that people look at what he did in his last season at college. It wasn't as great, so therefore the improvement hasn't happened how you want it to happen, and so therefore they've got a reason, they've got something that they can come out and say, oh yeah, but look at how it didn't work in the last year. And it's an unfair criticism, because most of his supporting players had gone off to college, gone off to the NFL and stuff like that, and that's the difference. And so yeah, I do think there is a little bit of that in it. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the pros that I put down, is he did do it without notable talent most part of his college career. And he was very good at that. Andrew, we'll move on to our second quarterback that we are talking about, and that's Jaden Daniels of Arizona State. And then he transferred to LSU. Heisman winner last season as well. 5 years he's played at college with 12,750 yards, 66.3 completion percentage, 89 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. I mean, the first thing off the bat, except like, this dude's played a lot of college football, and how attractive is that to NFL scouts and teams?
Yeah, I think that is now becoming what people might be looking at. I think now the NIL's such a big thing, and the transfer portal is so accessible and easy to move from college to college. There's now not the sort of demand to go straight from college to NFL straight away, and you might see a lot more guys sticking around or doing an extra year. And I think that's really valuable. I think when we talk about some of the others like Penix and Nix as well, when we're talking about the amount of snaps that they've taken and the amount of experience that gives them, because they've just seen so much more. I think when you take someone like Trey Lance, who didn't have many snaps at college, it didn't work out. He had some attributes, not the snaps. It's not worked out. So I do think that snap count really does help going forward. And you know, Jaden Daniels as well. When we were over in Germany, Fred, we met with some guys and they were talking about who Seattle might be able to take. And they were talking about those names that were all at the top of the board that everyone, you know, even Quinn Ewers and people like that. And I said, keep your eye on Jaden Daniels. You might be able to snag him. Well, we're not even saying that now, because he's on such a good run, and Heisman, he's just done what Joe Burrow kind of did, you know, had his struggles at another college, came to LSU, won a Heisman, and he just shot up boards and managed to showcase himself at the talents that he can do. So, he's a phenomenal talent.
So if Seattle pull off the spectacular, I think we'll see Seattle grabbing Jaden Daniels. Adam, sort of polar opposite, not polar opposite, but similar attributes with Drake May, but then also strengths and weaknesses. One seems to do one thing better than the other. I mean, Jaden Daniels has got some great tape. That's one of the big pros for him coming out, is he's got some great tape for 2023. He's got great speed. He's played a ton of football, has got that rushing capability. But what are the negatives you see in Jaden's game?
There's not many. It is a difficult one to find them. I remember looking at the tape of him and of what I saw, I mean, I felt sometimes his progressions were a little bit slow. He would always go to neighbors first, and then it kind of took a while to move across to the other guys. And so that was one of them. I mean, the only other thing, and I mean, I suppose you could call it a knock on him a little bit, is that he had an exceptional wide receiver court there. I mean, if you've got Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, you're doing pretty well. And so
that's actually what it's so funny, because in my cons, Drake Mayers did it without notable talent. In my cons, Joe Downs is played with great wide receivers, you know.
Yeah,
got one quarterback that did it with nobody, and you've got one quarterback that did it with a lot of somebodies. But this, we draw back to the Joe Burrow thing that Andrew said a moment. Yeah. I know very different quarterbacks, but Joe had all the talent. We probably played on one of the best college defenses ever as well, and it still proved to us in the NFL how good he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes to show, you know, if you can, I suppose the logic is, if you can be in a team where you can have that talent around you as well, then it will probably continue into the NFL. You know, you have the potential to do that. For Burrow, obviously, it's worked very well, primarily because he's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins there. So it kind of works really well. Jaden Daniels, dependent on where he goes, a lot of people are mocking him to the Patriots. You've got to suddenly start asking yourself, where is the quality around him? And the answer is there isn't any. So that's where the problem might come in. It's a bit of a difficult one in that respect. But I mean, they are the only, not like I say, I did feel like sometimes the progressions were a bit slow because he was focusing on his main guy. But yeah, he had all the talent in the world around him on that offense. So it'll be interesting to see if he could do that with maybe receivers who weren't quite as good. He may get the chance to prove it next year. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah.
Andrew, one of the things that Adam's actually said before about Jaden Daniels, which I've got in my cards as well, is because of his rushing capability, he gets hit and he's a little bit, he needs to learn when to take the hits and when to slow it down. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks that have been similar to that in the NFL and with Lamar and Josh Allen and certain players of that caliber. And I sort of see some of these quarterbacks, and I love Josh Allen and I love his rushing capability, but he seems to sometimes look for the hits, whereas Lamar seems to escape the hits and is sort of avoidant of that. I suppose one's big and stout and one's a bit more lean and slick, I suppose. Is Jaden leaning to more towards the Lamar build, but with Josh Allen's sort of mentality? And does he need to sort of clean that aspect of his game up?
You know, he's a really, really tall guy. He's like 6'4", but he's quite slender. A lot of people say it's a big knock on him. Adam's brought it up plenty of times, but Adam's not, I think I'm right in saying you're not worried too much about it because you've seen him out there rushing and taking the hits and things, and it's not bothered him too much at college. But we've seen Anthony Richardson, who's a lot bigger guy, a lot more stronger as well, I'd say, than Daniels. And he was in the blue tent an awful lot at the start of the year until he went out for the whole season. So I do worry for Jaden Daniels in that aspect, that he needs to become better at operating from the pocket and not rely on chaos from outside the pocket and creating magic with his legs, which we know he can do. And that's my real concern with him, especially if he's landing at somewhere like the Patriots, which Adam said as well, where you haven't got the offensive talent and he has struggled to operate from the pocket consistently. So is it going to become chaotic for him and him not be able to showcase the full extent of his talents that he did at LSU with the wide receivers there? So a little bit on the slender side. So I think when he gets to the NFL level, he can't rely on it as much as he did with at college. So that would be my take on it.
For new sort of viewers and listeners of college football, the Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, which is basically the college equivalent, college football trophy for the best player in all of college football. Adam, I asked this question knowing what your answer will be, but it's for really the listeners that aren't as au fait with college. How much does winning that Heisman move the needle when you're going into these drafts?
I think they probably think it's a good thing to win.
Well, yeah. The trophy's a nice trophy.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to win, I'll give you that. I mean, to a certain degree, you kind of like, there's only two quarterbacks in this draft that have won the Heisman Trophy. So in a way, it does kind of elevate Daniels up to a level sort of field with Caleb Williams in that respect. So I think there is that argument that he's obviously done incredibly well in order to do it. Again, I would say the year he's done it, he had two very good wide receivers to help him out there. So it's yeah, I think there probably is an element of, well, he must have been good because he's won it. But I don't know with teams exactly how teams would think about it. I think that whether they will just go through their normal scouting, look at the tape and be like, we either like him or we don't, whether it doesn't matter if he's won, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how they would think.
So we'll move off of Jaden Daniels and talk about where these guys may go. Washington at number two pick, Patriots at number three pick. We assume both are going to take quarterbacks. They are both needing a quarterback. They've both moved on from their guy. The Commanders, obviously, new head coach there, Dan Quinn, defensive-minded head coach, Andrew, and the Patriots with Jared Mayo, an ex-defensive player, new head coach for the Patriots. Not really an ideal scenario for either of these quarterbacks ending at either of these places, do you think? Two deep defensive coaches. This is one thing you've been saying a lot about recently within free agency as well, is how if you were a quarterback coming out of the draft, you would be really not wanting to land on any of these defensive-minded teams, I suppose, with, and especially in the situation where both these teams have got new head coaches. Yes, okay, Dan Quinn been a head coach before and a very, very good defensive coordinator, but Jared Mayo completely inexperienced. It's a bit of a lose-lose, not a lose-lose situation, because of course you're going to the NFL, but both situations don't feel that great to go into, do you think?
I think the Washington Commanders scenario is slightly better. I think they've got some nice weapons on the outside with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and people like that. They brought in Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson, you know, maybe can get a bit more out of Chris Rodriguez if he stays healthy. I think that in a way, I think they've got a little bit better draft capital as well, haven't they? I think. So in that terms, you're going to be landing somewhere that's slightly better. And also you've got Cliff Kingsbury as well, who has worked with quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks, you know, had a lot of success at college with younger quarterbacks. And I think, you know, he's not going to be the head coach, so he can focus on building relationship and building that up. So I think that's a plus side, even if we don't think he's a good head coach. He's proven to work well with young college guys and get the best out of them. We saw that in his time at college. So I think that scenario is slightly better. So I think the Patriots, their offensive coordinator is Alex Van Pelt. Adam might know him from Green Bay days. I think, you know, although he is a quarterback coach as his trade before offensive coordinator, I don't know enough about him to say, yeah, he's going to be able to develop a guy and produce the goods from him. I've seen more from Kingsbury. So I personally think the Commanders' job is a better situation for one of these young guys to land. And I also think it might be a better situation for Jaden Daniels as well going there. I think Drake May might fit the Patriots better too. So for me, there's more upside at the Commanders, especially with the division they're in as well. You know, you've got a Giants team that's not quite, still a bit dysfunctional at the minute, Cowboys team where it might not be great in the future, and then the Eagles are always going to rotate and be good. So I think that would be where I'd want to land.
I mean, same sort of question for you, Adam, but I suppose who do you think is going to go first, Drake May or Jaden Daniels in this draft?
I think Drake May should. I don't know, it's really difficult because you're dealing with a Commander's new ownership, so you don't really know quite what you're dealing with here. They're very they've sort of come from the basketball scene as well, haven't they, the owners of the Commanders, so you do wonder if there's a feeling that they want to make a big splash that's a little bit more sort of the sort of thing you would get in basketball. I do wonder if they might go for Jaden Daniels, just because I think he might be a bit more, I think he'll probably be a bit more marketable. I think he'll be probably a bit more exciting. I think it will help to get people through the door. I do think if you get owners like this, and it seems like they want to be involved as owners as well. It's not so much that they are just going to let the GM get on with it. It does feel like they want to be involved. And obviously they've selected their GM as well. I do wonder, I get the feeling they might go for Daniels. But they should go for Drake May, I think.
We'll have to see what happens on draft night. Now, let's talk about the next three quarterbacks that are maybe more than likely. Let's just wait and see going into the first round as well. And that is JJ McCarthy of Michigan, Michael Penix of Washington, and Bo Nix of Oregon. Now, we're going to sort of look at where do we think ideally they should land, really, and where they're maybe going in this first round. So the absolutely quarterback needy teams, in my opinion, are, we know Bears are going there because, I mean, we talk about Drake May and Jane Daniels going to, the cat could be thrown amongst the pigeons, and JJ McCarthy, the hype he's getting at the minute, could go number two at the minute. It feels like it has been crazy going on talking about McCarthy, but the quarterback need teams that we know for definite are Washington, the Patriots. I'd say the Giants, for me, is an absolute quarterback needy team. The Vikings, Denver Broncos, the Raiders. These teams are all picking in the top 15. Then the next one, I think the teams that have got to think about maybe looking at a quarterback is Seattle, Miami, and the Saints. They're the teams in my brain that I think are going to be having at least a look at these quarterbacks. So, I mean, McCarthy, we'll start with McCarthy. For me, the worry is I don't think we saw enough of his skill set, Andrew, in Michigan. Now, that is not to say that is a negative, because he played in Harbaugh's offense, and that is the offense that Harbaugh wanted to do. And I think what people might not talk about is that he just did it. He might not have all the stat padding that a quarterback needs, but he played in that offense really, really well. And McCarthy in this last week or so, that last few weeks, he's been getting a lot of talk. I mean, we talk about draft attrition for Drake May. This guy is suddenly getting all the hype around him now that really could push him into that upper echelon, maybe even top three chat about him being taken. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you've got pick five on the board, wouldn't you be hyping up a quarterback to just try and see if you can get some trade people for a higher price? You know, I think he's being very clever with that. Adams,
You claiming mind games? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying clever businessman. Yeah, you know, not mind games, clever businessman. You know, it's really hard for me to evaluate JJ McCarthy because I didn't buy into him in his first two seasons. I thought he struggled a little bit. McNamara was there and he shared some time with him. And in his last year, it kind of all worked. But that team that they had, I mean, they've got eight, they might break a record this year in the draft for the most drafted people from one year. They had the most candidates invited to the combine. You know, this wasn't, I think my knock on him is when we are evaluating the other guys in Penix and Nix and even May and people like that, they carried their teams. You know, Michael Penix really carried that Washington team and it was all on him. Whereas I'd say that Michigan might have carried McCarthy. Now, despite the fact that he did prove me wrong through the season and he did show glimpses that he can be the signal caller and stand in there and take it. And he's shown that he is a great leader as well. You know, he'll do anything for the team and he knows his role. We saw that in the Penn State game where they couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Chop Robinson was absolutely destroying that O-line. And they went, let's not pass the ball anymore. Let's run 32 times in a row. And he was in the Heisman Trophy conversation at this point. And he went, my team's worth more than the trophy. I'm going to hand it off 32 times and get the win. And he won the national championship. So you can't take that away from him. I just don't think he's got the strongest arm. I don't think he's got the best pocket presence. I don't think he's had enough snaps to control a game. So for me, I think there's more upside in the other guys, but he's definitely a guy that I'd be taking and sitting and seeing if he can produce the goods and move to the next level, because he's definitely a first round talent. I'm not saying he's not a first round talent here. I think he is, but I find more value in a couple of the other guys over him. And I'm not sure about the hype and where it's coming from.
Well, he had 6,226 yards, 49 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. It's 3 years at Michigan. Adam, are you buying into the hype that is now surrounding JJ? And if you're not, what team do you think would work best for him?
No, I'm not.
Anyone listening rather than viewing, the grimace for Adam Potter's face, I mean, is a sight to behold.
I don't think he's particularly good. I think he's got Zach Wilson written all over him. Wow. Yeah, I think he's tested well, and we all know how I feel about combine and testing well. The tape's not there. You can argue that he wasn't asked to do everything. That's pretty much the only thing you can argue in his favor. Because obviously Michigan are such a run heavy team, but yeah, I don't see it. I don't see where the hype is. Any team, there's talk of teams trading up for him, I think is crazy. I think the idea of him being a top five pick is pretty mental, let alone two, when you've got the likes of Drake May and Jaden Daniels around. I find that crazy. Team that I think it'd be good for. The one thing I would say is I think the Vikings, for any of these quarterbacks, will be the best team to go for, because I think you've got an offensive head coach, which I think is worth its weight in gold. Mm-hmm. And you've got Justin Jefferson. So, I mean, that when it comes to these teams that are looking for quarterbacks, I feel like the Vikings is the obvious one. But he desperately needs to sit. Because they want him to start, this is the thing, but he desperately needs to sit. I think if he can have a year sitting, he's got a chance. I think if he goes straight into a team, you've got Zach Wilson on your hands.
That's some bold comments there. Andrew, are you following the same line, or would you being on the fit and where he lands?
I fully agree.
Hopefully he goes to the Giants. Please let him go to the Giants.
I mean, when you say about the situation of him sitting behind someone and being in a team...
It does make sense.
For me, I think all three of these need a strong head coach. I think they all need a head coach that's got a bit of a plan in mind and a bit of a they want to cement what they're doing. And actually, the Giants does make some sense. But Andrew, obviously, the grimace on your face that came up Wednesday. Funny how JJ McCarthy makes everyone grimace on this podcast, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, if the Giants take JJ McCarthy, who's going to throw the ball to?
Because... I don't care, mate. I don't care. The whole street is getting woken up around here when JJ McCarthy is taken to the Giants. I'm going to be cheering like anything.
The only saving grace I can take from this is they've taken Michael Penix out for dinner, so I'm holding on for that. And they sent a lot of scouts and coaches and everything to his pro day. But, I mean, like Adam says, the Vikings, not only have they got Justin Jefferson, but they've got, you know, Pro Bowl tight end in TJ Hockenson, Pro Bowl running back in Aaron Jones. They've got young
Jordan Addison.
You know, and along with the head coach, it's an ideal situation for any young quarterback to go to. But I do agree, he needs to sit, and he needs to sit behind someone who can teach him the ropes as well. And I don't think Sam Darnold is the guy to show him the ropes, really, for a guy that's still struggling himself and still quite young himself. So I'd like to see him behind, more behind a Geno Smith, more behind a Dak Prescott, you know, someone like that.
A Kirk Cousins, if he was still at the Vikings, would have been.
Yeah. I think that he'll get a lot more value out of that, and he'll be able to learn and develop, which is what we want him to do. Not be thrown into the fire, start, maybe struggle, and then he's gone within 2 years. That's what we don't want to happen to these young guys, because all six of them, I think, have the chance to succeed. But they're not going to succeed if they're not in the right fit. So I do think he needs to sit.
Maybe a Daniel Jones.
Yeah, maybe. I have to echo what Andrew said, but for all three of these guys, I mean, it's all about fit. This is all about fit for all three of these. These could sink or swim, all three of them. So the Vikings would, they're at 11 at the minute. You'd imagine they're probably going to have to trade up to go and get it. I mean, Harbaugh's done a good job of maybe auctioning that his number five pick to say, you know, hyping up McCarthy to try and get a trade initiated. We'll move on to Michael Penix. And Andrew, we'll stick with you because I know you are particularly big on Michael Penix. You've liked him for quite a long time at Washington. And a very decent quarterback he is. Again, for me, it's about fit. What do you like about him? Where would you like to see him go?
Absolutely love this guy. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Two great years at Washington. The leading passer for both of those years. I think he was a bit of unlucky not to have got a few more votes for that Heisman Trophy last year against Daniels. You know, led his team to the final, to the championship, just missing out to Michigan. But, you know, for me, watching this guy in college, he's probably one of the best throwers of the ball I've seen. Now, I'm not saying like his passing is good, his leverage is good. He throws wide receivers open all the time. He puts the ball in the place where they can get it. He gets rid of it quickly. This is what I'm saying about this guy. He can control a pocket. He can win games by controlling the pocket. He's got good mobility in that pocket. I think what we saw from his pro day, which everybody might have seen, everybody's saying this guy is a statue. He's not athletic. You know, that's why he's dropping down boards. He's finally shown, guys, he didn't need to do it at Washington. The O-line was good. He managed just to be a pocket passer, but he has got some wheels and he can move. And he also had a big 36, I think, in the vertical, which is quite impressive as well. So, you know, I think when it was at Indiana prior, I think they drafted him as a dual threat quarterback. He just got injured a lot when he was a dual threat. So just stopped doing it. So he has that ability and he is a phenomenal talent and he's got that experience. And he could, for me, out of all of them, he can start day one. I think he's what I've seen from him at Washington and what he's produced. I think he's very similar to what he's going to be seeing in the NFL. So I think it translates for me for him to go into the NFL and have a good chance at being able to succeed straight away over the others.
And where would his day one start at, do you think? The Giants?
I'm not sure if, because I want him to succeed. I don't think he should be going to the Giants. I'd love him there because I love him. But we're a bit dysfunctional on offense. We've spent a lot of money on that defense. The defense does look good, but that offense is just not right. The O-line isn't quite right yet. Maybe this season it will be. We've got rid of our running back, and the wide receivers just aren't quite there yet. So I wouldn't like to see Penix, as a fan of Penix, land there. As a Giants fan, I'd like it, but I don't think that's the right position for any of these guys to go to just yet. I think Daniel Jones should sort his mess out and be given another chance to try and see if he can make it work. I'd really like to see Penix, you know, he would work at the Denver Broncos. I think he would work at the Seattle Seahawks. And if we're saying, like, this guy might drop down boards, but he might not be as high as some of the others. He could fall. And if he's still on the board in round one at the Rams pick or the Cowboys pick, I'd definitely be taking him. You know, the Rams haven't managed to get a full year out of Stafford lately. You know, he's always injured for at least two games. And they're going to need a plan for when he's gone. They've managed to nail the picks in the previous drafts so they could get this. And we now know that Dak Prescott is not going to be signed to another deal. I think that's quite clear now. The media has reported that they don't want to sign him to another deal. So where's the plan after he's gone? Because they're never going to be a bad team, the Cowboys. So when are you going to be in a position to draft a starting quarterback like Penix in the next couple of years? Because the prospects aren't as hot as this year. So if he's down there, he could land a very talented organization later on. So I think there's lots of upside for him to succeed. But yeah, I think Broncos straight away would fit for him and Seahawks as well.
Adam, are you echoing Andrew's thinking there? I mean, I know you said Vikings for all of these, but you've got to like give these guys a fighting chance rather than just the Vikings.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Penix. I think he's really good. The combine showed his accuracy, but if you look at any of the tape, he's just incredibly accurate. Quarterback, the spiral he gets on the ball is ridiculous. He's so, very, very good. He gets a lot of stick because of the injuries that he's had, but he's been okay for the last 2 years, so it's not really something that they should be that worried about. They say he's not very mobile. Again, as Andrew said, you could see from the tape he didn't need to be, and that's the reason why it kind of has shown up as almost like, oh, he's just a pocket passer and he's just very accurate, as if that's a bad thing. So, yeah, I mean, there's loads of them. Yes, the Rams would be great. I don't see the Rams taking a quarterback at that point. I just think they would want to go for the defense, especially with the likes of Aaron Donald not there now. I just don't see it. the Cowboys, you could argue, it's not a great sign, I have to say, if you're taking a quarterback in round one for Dak and for their hopes of that season, though. So that's the only, I feel like it wouldn't be a good look. So because of that, I actually think Penix, although very talented, there does seem to be this narrative around him that he is a little bit older. He has been banged up a lot. He's not very mobile. Kind of all screams back of the first round, early second round to me compared to these other guys. And it wouldn't surprise me if maybe a team comes up. So maybe one of these teams who doesn't get a quarterback in their first few picks, they trade up and use their second round pick and come up at the back of the first to pick him up. That makes more sense, personally. So, you know, maybe the Patriots could go for Marvin Harrison, couldn't they? And then trade up into the back of the first and then get Penix. Why not? That would make a lot of sense.
You know, we're talking about age and him being the one that drops. Why is no one talking about Bo Nix's age and him dropping? Because he's not even the most talented. And a lot of people have got him above Penix. And he's a year older, isn't he?
Let's stick on Bo Nix as well. Let's talk about him as well, moving on away from Penix.
So I think the reason that happens with Bo Nix is probably because it feels like it's pretty widely thought out that Sean Payton and Denver like the look of this guy, and they don't have a second round pick, so they got to do it in the first. I think that is pretty much all it is, really. I don't think there's much else to it. If they don't take him in the first, it's entirely possible that he would do the same, because I think that is something that could happen. I think that Bo Nix is another really good quarterback, and has shown how good he is. Very accurate, great decision making, but he was in an Oregon offense that was kind of, they do what they do, and that's not necessarily what NFL teams do, and that's kind of the knock on him. I personally think he's NFL ready. I think he's been in college a long time. He looked very good. He's very steady. He doesn't have the mobility of some of these other ones, but again, that's because Oregon do what Oregon do, and so they didn't necessarily have to do that. But yeah, to me, he screams budget Drew Brees, and that's what Sean Payton's going to want. So I think he will probably go and get his guy, because if not, it's Jarrett Stidham for the whole year, which is not going to be a great season for him.
Yeah, I mean, I that's what I heard as well. It's Drew Brees Mark II, pretty much, Andrew. And obviously, Sean Payton there at 12, he may be eyeing it. And like you said, they've sort of it'd be now or never for them there, really.
Yeah, they've definitely got to take someone who it is. You know, we've talked about two people that do fit there, but there is a lot of narrative, and it's no secret that I like to listen to a bit of Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt was drafted by Sean Payton, and he was there with Drew Brees, and he just states that Bo Nix is literally perfect for what Sean Payton wants, and that's where it's coming from, as Adam says. And you know, the guy's got more starts than any other college quarterback has ever had, and he started from day one where he was at Auburn, and he had three seasons there where he didn't miss a start. So he was going up against the big SEC teams. So he's seen all of that. Then when he went to Oregon, Dan Lanning gave him the chance to control that offense himself. And when Adam says that he's a day one starter, he's a day one starter because when he was given the opportunity to run that offense, he would be allowed to call audibles and call plays as he saw them because of his experience and the trust that his head coach had in him. And that's something that a lot of these guys don't have. You know, we won't have it from JJ McCarthy. We might not even have it from Penix or from May, definitely not May, where the play that is called from the head coach, they do. That's just how it works in college football. They're not given the reins as much, but Bo Nix was given that. And I think that's why he's so valuable to day one starts and two NFL teams, because he's got that notch, because he hasn't got the best of arms. He's not the most athletic, you know, he's not got the presence. He's good at all of them, you know, but just not elite at anything. And I think that's why people just aren't really talking about him. But I see the value in him. And like I said, he's seen all of the big names. He's seen all the big teams. He's come up against them all and shown that he can do it finally at Oregon. So good talent. And yeah, that the it's hard to get away from the Broncos narrative with it after listening to Joel Klatt talk about it.
Okay, so then to finish up with then, Andrew, what order the these guys go in?
Oh, this is, well, there's what order I want it to go in, and then there'd be
well, what order would you like it to go in? I think that's a better one.
Well, if it was me personally, I would think that obviously it's Williams, then May, then Daniels, and then I think Penix is for me is the next best one, and then I think Nix and then McCarthy. But we know it's not going to go that way with the McCarthy hype. So, yeah. I've also, just if you wanted to, I have got another team that I think could be quarterback needy. But that might be for another day.
That may be for another day, actually, because we are running thin on time. But Adam, what order would you like to see this in?
Personally, same. I think that probably is the order where they go. I don't think they will. I think Daniels goes above May. I think that McCarthy will go fourth, and Penix, I suspect, might be a second-round pick.
Oh, really? So your hot take really is that Penix does fall out of the field.
Yeah, I don't think I mean maybe they might come up for him, but I don't know if they will, because they won't need to. That's the thing. It's really just about whether they want like. Have him for that extra year on his rookie contract, isn't it? That's all it's going to be.
Well, Andrew, Adam, thank you very much, and thank you anyone for listening to and watching as well. Lots of college talk coming up, and as you've heard from both these guys tonight, they know a lot about college football and a lot more interesting topics to come up on this channel as we go into the draft. And it's very exciting for me as well, because someone who doesn't really watch loads of college football. I know names and I know players, but I don't necessarily, you know, maybe know their whole CV, I suppose, of them as players. So it's really fascinating for me to hear this as well. And obviously it will lead up into us probably doing mock drafts, which I will need all the help in the world from the sounds of it this year. I've been a little bit lackluster in keeping up with the times. But Adam, Andrew, once again, thank you for joining me. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Have a good week. I hope you had a good Easter, and we'll see you all very soon.